It's time to take a break with Gene and Mary. Every weekday at noon Eastern Time, join us as we talk about what's on our minds. Email us at contactgeneandmary@gmail.com, or you can interact with us on Facebook for your chance to win a free gift every week.
Warning! Side effects may include jocularity, increased knowledge, and a great way to spend 15 minutes, but today we're running short of time, so we might not have a whole 15 minutes, so we're going to talk pretty fast. I should have Zachary here. He talks fast.
Well, what are we going to talk about?
Well, I've got I have a word of the day for you first, and the word of the day is translation.
Translation. Okay.
It's the process of translating words or text from one language to another. And if you don't know what translation means, or translating means, I will tell you in just about 30 seconds.
Let's make it 20, come on.
Make it 20. Translating definition is to express the sense of words in another language. And the reason that we're talking about that is because Barb did some research.
Thanks,
Barb. Thank you. We just love you. You
appreciate it.
You make the world go round. She did some research into everything you ever wanted to know about the Rosetta Stone. Now, do you know what the Rosetta Stone is?
Now, I believe the Rosetta Stone is an ancient man-made rock that has languages from all over different kind of languages, all in the same stone that say the same message.
Well, you could be right. We're going to find out together.
Well, I could be, but
I do know that it is one of the most famous objects in the British Museum. It is, it's broken. It's a broken part of a bigger stone slab. It has a message carved into it, written in three types of writing called scripts. Was an important clue that helped experts learn to read Egyptian hieroglyphs, which was a writing system that used pictures as signs. And the reason it's important is because it was an official message called a decree. Like I gotta look that up now.
A new law by the person.
I think it is like a law, an official order issued by a legal authority. To order something by decree. It is a rule of law issued by a head of state according to certain procedures. It has the force of law. The particular term used for the concept may vary from country to country. These are similar to the executive orders made by the President of the United States. Mm-hmm. So you were absolutely right. And this decree was about the king who was at that time Ptolemy, P-T-O-L-E-M-Y. The decree was copied onto several large stone slabs called stelae, S-T-E-L-A-E, and they were put in every temple in Egypt. And the decree says that priests of a temple in Memphis supported the king. It's kind of like, my name is Mary Brotherton, and I approve of Be Unique.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in that setting, too, it also told the people that who their tithe, who their resources were going to be loyal to.
Right.
Who's going to protect them. And
that was important in those days.
Mm-hmm, very much.
The Rosetta Stone is a copy of this decree. So by itself, it's not particularly important. However, the thing that is important is that it is inscribed three times. And it was described in hieroglyphs, which was suitable for a priestly decree. Demotic, which was the native Egyptian script for daily purposes, meaning the language of the people. And ancient Greek. That was the language of administration. The rulers of Egypt at that time were Greco-Macedonian because Alexander the Great had already conquered the area. And when they found the Rosetta Stone, it was broken and incomplete. It features 14 lines of hieroglyphic script. And it includes a cartouche that features the name Ptolemy, written right to left, along with an Egyptian holorific. Now, I want to tell you what cartouche means, if I can get this open for me. A cartouche is an oval with a line at one end tangent to the other. And basically, they circled it. They circled the name Ptolemy so that you would know exactly what it was. Hmm. And the importance of these to Egyptology is immense. When it was discovered, nobody knew how to read ancient Egyptian hieroglyphs because of the inscription. Because the inscriptions say the same thing in three different scripts, and the scholars could read the ancient Greek, the Rosetta Stone became a valuable key to deciphering the hieroglyphs. Hmm. Now, I believe there is a translation application called the Rosetta Stone, right? Am I mistaken on that?
I don't know.
I think, or maybe just called Rosetta. They have a Rosetta Translation Services.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. There's like, they call it Rosetta, and it's like an app or a...
Yeah, Rosetta Translation. And you can probably get translated right there online for free, if I'm not mistaken. They found this in, well, let me go backtrack for a minute. Napoleon Bonaparte campaigned in Egypt from 1798 to 1801, intending to dominate the East Mediterranean and threatening the British hold on India. Accounts of the stone's discovery in 1799 are now kind of vague, but it's the story that's most generally accepted is that soldiers in Napoleon's army found it. They discovered it while digging the foundations of an addition to a fort near the town of Rashid, which translates into Rosetta, in the Nile Delta. It had apparently been built into a very old wall. The officer in charge was Pierre-François Bouchard. He realized the importance of the discovery. Now, once...
Well, that would make sense if you were going to do a decree and you were doing a civil improvement project like a wall for the city. You just stick the decree in the wall. It's not like it was going to change.
Exactly. And once the Napoleon was defeated, the property became... the stone became property of the British under the terms of the Treaty of Alexandria and other antiquities that the French had found. The stone was shipped to England and arrived in Portsmouth in February 1802. Now, I've got 2 minutes to finish this because Gene and I have definitely got something important to do after this show, and we'll tell you all about that later, maybe, if we think about it. But soon after the end of the 4th century AD, when hieroglyphs had gone out of use, the knowledge of how to read and write them disappeared. In the early years of the 19th century, scholars were able to use the Greek inscription as the key to decipher them. Thomas Young was an English physicist, and he was the first to show that some of the hieroglyphs on the Rosetta Stone wrote the sounds of a royal name, which was Ptolemy. The French scholar, Jean-François Champollion, then realized that hieroglyphs contained the sound of the Egyptian language. This laid the foundations of our knowledge of ancient Egyptian language and culture. Champollion made a crucial step in understanding ancient Egyptian writing when he pieced together the hieroglyphs that were used to write the names of non-Egyptian rulers. Hmm. He announced this discovery, which had been based on the Rosetta Stone analysis and other texts, in a paper in Paris, and the audience included his rival, Thomas Young, who was also trying to decipher Egyptian hieroglyphs.
Wow. Well, you know, and what strikes me is that it sounds like the Egyptian hieroglyphs were the language of the day at that time, and then the languages that we're more familiar with the Greek and Latin roots, came after that and displaced it. And so we had, what would it say, 3,000 years, 2,000 or 3,000 years of going into these different languages, and so now we're going back to the little hieroglyphs with all of our little emojis and things that we use on our online communication. I think that's pretty, somebody pointed that out, that it's, we're going back to that same thing. And sure, You can represent. You could do an entire communication with just the little pictures, and that's what hieroglyphs.
Exactly, were. And the entire decree is too long to read because we are out of time.
Oh yeah.
And I will have a link to that in the description of the show if you want to go and read it yourself.
Awesome. Well, it looks like Mary wasn't joking. It looks like we're it's time to tell you how much we're happy you chose to take a break with us today, and look forward to hearing from you online. If you please visit us at beunique.org, get details about all of the great shows we have.
That's beunique.org.
All right, bye
everybody.